In your Bible, 1 minute Peter was walking on the water. The next minute, he was sinking. And like Peter, failure often convinces all of us to play it safe to avoid sinking again. But today, Pastor Kevin Housley teaches us, like Peter eventually did, to get back in the water.
Sometimes the days are dark and long. Sometimes I don't feel like traveling on. Sometimes I'm pierced by Satan's darts. And sometimes I just want to go home. But always He is with me. Always He still cares. Always He reminds me that He will always be there. Well, sometimes I feel like I could die. Sometimes my world crumbles in my hand. And sometimes I'm weary from the fight. And sometimes I'm just too weak to stand. But always He is with me. Always He still cares. Always He reminds me that He will always be there. Yes, He will always be there.
If someone had laryngitis and stood before you and demanded you to speak clearly, it'd be difficult. For you and I to worship the Lord and to love Him, to praise Him, something's got to be done to your heart and life to get it into a place to where you can speak clearly.
Amen.
And this week we have been helped. I'll be honest with you, I come into services sometimes and I just ain't got it. And that's why I need preaching. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's why when you are in bad shape in your Christian life, you need preaching. The flesh says, I don't want preaching. I don't want to be around the music. I don't want to be around the Christians. I don't want to be around the brothers and the fellowship and the preaching. But we're sick, and that is the medicine that God has given us to cleanse us and get us right with God. And it's very simple. It's clear, but we get blinded by that sometimes. This week, we have heard messages on the discouragement of the Lord. I appreciate the messages early on. I appreciate all of them. But man, right off the bat of this meeting, God has met with us.
Amen.
And I come in here with a broken heart. I come in here with some need. And God began to pour into me every single service, every single sermon and song and testimony. And from having the fresh anointing, the next anointing, and the prayer and fasting. And Brother Kenny Marr preaching on caring and sharing our burdens with one another. And the suffering that we go through before we minister, that difficulty there. And Brother Sean encouraging us that God loves us and that God is merciful. All those things are pouring into us to help us to get right with God. We're wounded, we're hurt, we're in need. Every one of us are that way. We don't come here, you know, a tower of light. We come in here barely glowing most of the time. You know, and I believe that God has helped many of us here. And so hopefully you have been moved in that direction. And so I feel like the message that the Lord has on my heart may help us into what we ought to do with this. And if you have your Bibles, very familiar passage, John chapter 21. John chapter 21. We'll start reading at verse 1. I'm just going to start reading. You can find it. The Bible says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now, that's the Sea of Galilee. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. I want to preach from verse 7. And I want to preach on this thought, get back in the water. The devil works hard in believers' life to create hardships and sufferings in our life to lead us to bitterness, apathy, hurtfulness. And he continues to blind us from the hope and the help that the Lord has for us. That's why hang on to your heart, Brother EJ, is important. Because to be honest with you, most of us come in here about ready to hang up our heart. And I'm thankful there's some folks that come in among us that have a word from God to help us, to encourage us not to lay down our hearts. But I find Brother Peter here got into a situation that he's almost ready to hang up his heart because what he had done.
Yes, sir.
And his response here is absolutely marvelous. Often, people that are sidelined from a hot pursuit of Christ would never consider quitting on God when they were on fire. When the fire is falling like Elijah on Mount Carmel, he wasn't thinking about giving up on God, laying down the sword. But when he got down in the valley, he was ready to give it all up and said, I'm not as good as any of them other preachers. I'm not as good as any of them other families. It's enough. We'd never lay down our ministry when life is bright, when the song is fresh, when the future is clear and the way is bright. But when life becomes unmanageable, when it becomes chaotic and fearful of some unknown outcome.
Yes, sir.
We retreat from the challenges of the troubled waters that would try our faith. My son's a pastor. He's a good preacher. He's smart. He's an educated preacher. He loves the Lord and he loves the people that he pastors. But there's a time several years ago that he got into a church and he got hurt. It was his first pastorate. It was difficult. And he loved the people. And they told him, look, we're going to give you the severance pay, but we don't want you to bring forward church or anything. If you do, if it has to come to a vote, you ain't getting nothing. Just leave. And so he left the church. And we tried to minister to him in that situation for about several years. He was broken and he didn't want to go back into the pastorate. And I said, son, you're called to preach. But he was afraid of it. He's afraid of the church. He was afraid of getting his feet back in the water again. And God began to stir up his world and took the whole bath of water and threw him and the water out with it and got him back on his feet, thank God. And he landed in a good place. See, you and I, sometimes we have situations that the devil creates around us in our family and homes. And hey, we may say, well, it's the devil causing the problem, but we may buy into it and make a mockery of our own faith, and the devil wants to jump on top of us and get us in a situation like Brother Peter was here.
Yeah.
I go a fishing.
Yeah.
Now, during Peter's short ministry, he'd seen too much to go back to the fishing business.
Right.
He was the first disciple to confess Jesus as the Messiah. Now, I don't know why Peter went back to fishing. Maybe it was because it was his comfort zone. Now, I'm going to say this. Every one of us have a comfort zone. Amen. Something where we just kind of get away from what we ought to be doing sometimes and kind of get over there, as the preacher said, and coast. Maybe he was just sitting idle, needed some money, and went back to fishing, whatever it was. He had already seen too much. Man, he was the one that first said, look, you're the Messiah. He'd been casting out devils. He was in the inner circle of Jesus. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration there, saw Jesus glorified. Hey man, you talking about enjoying your favorite preacher. Hey man, one of my favorite preachers were here last night. I love all you preachers, but boy, I tell you, I love Dr. Phil Keaton. But old brother, Peter was up on top of that mountain and he was there with the great lawgiver.
Yeah.
Hey man, he saw that great preacher Elijah. You talking about being around some great men here. I mean, he was the spokesman of the crowd. He was the leader among the disciples. He had already came through too many rebukings of the Lord. You and Jesus first met, Brother Peter, when Peter first met Jesus, Jesus told Peter, said, let down the nets for a draw. And Peter was disgusted that he had to get his nets dirty again. He said, I'll let down a net. And he let down one net and he said, depart from me, I'm a sinner, because of the great catch. Jesus called Peter the devil when he tried to stand in his way.
Yep.
I mean, he'd already come through too many rebukings to give up now. Amen. He was the one that was carrying the sword in the garden. He's ready to fight anybody that came against Jesus. He fell asleep there in the garden. He jumped up in haste trying to defend the Lord. He didn't know what to do and he cut off Malchus' ear. But Jesus rebuked him. And then Peter run off and followed Jesus from afar. He runs off cussing and denying that he knew Jesus. And he goes back to fishing. And there he's out on the seashore there fishing a little ways off. 3 days later, Jesus shows up there in Galilee, because that's where he said he was going to meet him. And there on the shore, he sees the disciples. Now, here's an interesting situation that was very refreshing to me. Peter is fishing in familiar waters.
Yes, sir.
This is the same old water that Peter has always been in and learned about Jesus. He was out there on the same place it had always been. Can you imagine getting away from God and thinking you're going to go to the places where you met God and try to get away from God? Can you imagine fishing on that water and think, man, this is where I met God at? I mean, can you imagine going through all that scenario, trying to get by in life? And so Peter here is on this water. It's the same water that he was astonished when Jesus stood up and calmed the water. It was the same water where Peter went out and said, "Lord, bid me to come on the water." And Jesus gave him one word. Come. Four letters. Four letters. Peter said, "That's all I need today. Four letters." And he stepped out on four letters. Come. Wonder what it takes for you to step out anymore. It used to be that we would step out on that water. Now, I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just saying, listen, let's figure it out here a little bit. Hey, man, Brother Peter, there was a time in your life you wouldn't have been out there. You was walking on one word, son. Wonder what it takes for us today. Not only that, but we find that when he got out on that water, on that troubled water, the Bible says in beginning to sink, he cried out. Beginning to sink. Hey, man, I appreciate people when they notice a little movement. When they notice a little sinking or getting away, they cry out. I wonder how long it takes for you and I to cry out today when trouble comes. You see, this water that Peter was on today and yesterday is where he was awakened to know Jesus. It was the same water where he was awarded for obeying the Lord, and it was the same water where he was acclaimed. I mean, Peter was a church house household name, a famous man because of what happened on the Sea of Galilee. And this is the same water. Now, if anybody had an excuse, Brother EJ, of not going back to Jesus, it was Peter. But I find that like many of these disciples, many of us are trolling the shores. Jesus is on the banks ready to save the world. And it took Peter jumping back into the water to get to Jesus, get to the fire, get to the food, get to the fellowship.
Come on, Red.
And I'm trying to stir you up and tell us and you and me today that we need to get back into the water. We are spiritual leaky people. We are a drifting type of people, if we can put it that way. We must constantly be stretching our faith. And so we need to get back to those familiar waters where we first stepped out to know the Lord. The places where you used to walk on the water. The places that you used to go through and you trusted God. Let me tell you, some of y'all have gone through a whole lot more darker places than yet now. Even if you got to swim to him, tread water. Even if you got to face the one you've failed, tread water, swim, hunt around for the Lord. Now let me ask you to tell you this. This is why. Number one, he's still God. I mean, old Brother Peter and him, it didn't matter what. Listen, they had a resurrected God standing on the shore saying, "Hey, y'all got a fish sandwich over there?" That'd been silly for them to... I didn't hear nothing. You hear anything? Hey, sometimes you can get around these meetings and things and hear some preaching, and you can discard a couple of messages, maybe a few testimonies. But when it's week after week, sermon after sermon, amen, you feel like people looking at you. It's God.
Yeah.
Amen. This dude right here just resurrected from the dead. You know he was dead. You saw him dead. Hey, man, there he is standing on the shore, hollering for you to come on back in. Not only that, but not only is he still God, but there's still victories ahead. Some of Peter's most influential moments were yet to come in his life. But Peter felt like probably I've made a mess of everything. Like that was the end of it. But he had even begun.
That's right.
His preaching, his power, up until this point, everything that he had experienced was how to follow the Lord. See, some of y'all think you've made a mess. Well, that's it. I'm too old, or I've had too many chances. Most of the time, it's just getting you to a place where God can bless you down the road. My little daughter, Ellie, where's she at? Where you at, Ellie? Come here, real quick, baby. Hurry, hurry. Come here, Zeke. Come here, baby. Come here, right here, baby. Stand right here on the stage. Right here, up here. Stand right here. Look at them people. They ain't going to resist you. Sister Ellie here, she just learned how to ride her bike. Brother Zeke's starting to learn. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Y'all go sit down. And so I would hold the back of the seat for Ellie for 10 or 15 times. And if you take your time, a child would get it if they'd learned, been on the training. It was a little while before you know she took off. We were so excited. It was thrilling. It was chilling. Man, it was daring. She'd love it. She'd laugh. And she'd say, "Pop, is your hand off? Is your hand off? Is your hand off?" I said, "A little bit, a little bit, a little bit. You're doing it, baby. You're doing it. You're doing it." Then a few days later, Zeke came over and they both were with us, and Zeke's got a little bike with training wheels on it. And so he was going up and down the driveway, and she saw him. She said, "Papa, I want my training wheels on." And I thought, okay, I'll put them on. You ain't going to like it. And so she brought her bike over, and I took the wrench and put the training wheels on her, and she liked it, broke her neck. Can you imagine it? Because you have freedom. You can turn that wheel, but when them training wheels on there, you have to go in a certain way, in a certain path.
Right.
And so I thought, you ain't enjoying that. Hey, man, that's just to get you to the next level, baby. Hey, man, there ain't no fun in that. Hey, man, let Zeke enjoy his little time. Let him enjoy that. Hey, man, she's going out the driveway, going up the little culvert, coming back. Man, she's in, it won't be long, she'll have her hands up in the air. Hey, man, she don't even know what's about to come. Hey, man, hitting them wheelies. I mean, that's some good. Hitting them ramps. I don't want to go back to the training wheel, and that's where Peter was. Peter had the training wheels on. Christ walked with him, held his hand. Hey, man, Christ showed him how to walk, how to live. Hey, man, listen to me. Peter thought, "I'm a failure. I ain't no good. I'm a mess. God, why would you want me? Why do you care about me? What matters about me?" And in Peter's mind, he thought, "Man, God, I ain't gonna be worth nothing to you." And God said, "Son, your greatest days are yet to come." And who ever knew that Peter would stand up the way he did at Pentecost and let her fly? His greatest days were yet to come. You know, Abraham lived 75 more years after Isaac was given to him. You know that Job lived 140 years after God restored all his blessings to his life. You know that Caleb was 85 years old when he took Mount Horeb. I mean, listen, you think all those years you've messed up are gone? Man, I don't got anything left, dear friend. Don't you look at it that way. God can extend your blessings if he starts today like nothing else before. Yes, you may have some wasted years. Yes, you may have a mess. Yes, you may be fighting your way through some dark valley. But if God started today to bless you, he can make you more successful today going forward than anything back then. Not only is he still God, there's still victory ahead, but lastly, he is still worthy of acting silly over it. This scene makes me happier than anything. To see someone like Peter doing what he did. Let's look at this a moment. The word cast is interesting. And if you look at the Greek or what have you, it has the sense of, Pastor Mike, it has the sense of being violently thrown into the water. Oh, man. I mean, it's intense. This is weird. You know how quiet it is on the water? And this dude does a cannonball off the side of the water. You ain't supposed to make no noise fishing. And here, Brother Peter does a can opener. I don't know. But also, it means to stretch oneself. I mean, it may have been a belly plop.
Oh, no.
Just think about this. Everybody on the boat fishing. Peter gets wind that it's Jesus. And he violently casts himself in the water. Pop! Water splashes up in the boat. What in the world's that idiot doing? That excites me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We talk about what we're going to do when we see Jesus. I appreciate that. I appreciate that there. Peter said, heck with then. I'm going to do it right now. Hey, man, I'm not trying to get at you, but let's not brag about what we're going to do up there when we see him. And we ain't willing to act silly about him right now. Amen. It's interesting. The Bible says the disciples came in a little boat. But Peter, he didn't get in the boat. He jumped out of the boat. What did he jump into? That familiar water. That same old water that he met Jesus in. He jumped back in the water, Brother Marl. Amen. Here, Brother Peter comes to the shore, soaking wet, cold because it was morning, wore out, breathing heavy. Don't you know they say, boy, he's charismatic. Oh my goodness, oh, watch him. Oh. They're eccentric. That's what they had said about Brother Peter, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Every one of them probably in the boat thought, come on, Peter, good night. Our faith has ceased to be spontaneous. We must seize the opportunity to jump back in again. When you look at this story, who do you admire most? Who are you more thankful to see how they responded? 40 days later, Jesus ascends into heaven. When they look back over their life, all them disciples think about that moment they were on the sea. Who do you think is more faithful how they responded when Jesus showed up? I would rather live the rest of my life saying, man, I was the one that belly flopped, jumped back in the water, wore out, breathing heavy, while a bunch of you stoics show up like you got it all together, bless God, amen, around the fire. Hey, man, I'd rather be the one saying hallelujah. I enjoyed the ride. I enjoyed it. Hey, man, I may have had to swim. I may have been breathing heavy, soaking wet. I may have looked like a fool, but I love him, and he's worthy to jump back in that water. Can't you just imagine all the disciples, those that were in the boat, they gather around the fire. There's Jesus and Peter's. Yes, Jesus. Go get the fish. I'll go get the fishes. And the rest of them like. Who do you like in that story? Who do you love in that story? Listen to me. I'm glad somebody acted like a fool in that moment.
Come on, man.
Good night. Somebody ought to act like that. Hey, man, boy, I wish I was walking with Jesus back in the day. Hey, man, we weren't there, but I'm glad old Peter was there. I'm glad Peter did what he did. Making a mess of things. I close with a couple of illustrations, please. We took a 16-day trip to California to go visit my son, who was in the Marines, and he was stationed out there. I think it was Camp Pendleton. We took a trip and went out and saw Hoover Dam and Lake Mead and the West Coast Mountains and the Sierra Mountains and the Colorado Mountains, Highway 1. I'm not bragging here, just for a purpose of illustration. I might brag a little bit. Saw Big Sur, the Pacific Ocean, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, San Diego, Alcatraz, Lombard Street, the Golden Gate Bridge.
I didn't brag.
Just so. Forgive me, brother. It was sweet. You're going to get a chance to go see Highway 1. Y'all ever seen that? That's gorgeous. My kids were young. Only thing they cared about was, Dad, could you plug my video game in? My TV ain't working back here in the back of the car. I'm thinking, you dummy. Look at this. I know it seems boring. I know it seems primitive. I know it seems like a parent. It seems old time. Hey, man, today they look at the pictures and they think, man, I want to go do that one day. I was trying to wake them up to show them their opportunity. Hey, man, you have an opportunity right now. Get out of the water. Get back in the water. Get in there. Hey, listen to me. Some of y'all, you've been broken. You're suffering. You're hard. You're barely hanging on. People's injured you. You're suffering in some way. Go back to your church. Get back in your homes. Jump back in the water by faith and serve God. I love what I'm going to get ready to say. Sister Lydia, would you come to the piano? She's awesome. She's awesome. Hey, and that song she sang, He's Still Faithful.
Amen.
Son, I can't handle that. That's great. That's great. And, well, I'm not saying y'all to sing that. You mind the Lord, you know better than me on that side. When I was 18 years old, my brother drowned. He's 17. And like any siblings, we grow up fighting, and you know, I was embarrassed about him most of the time just because he's my younger brother, you know. I was working at Kroger, and so my family came and said, your brother's missing and they want you to come home. I thought, well, his name is Jackie. I said, well, he'll tell him what he's doing. I didn't know the whole story. He had snuck out, said he was going up to Dayton with some friends. But instead, he told Mom he's going to do something else, or going to do that. And he got on the Ohio River down there where we live, and they tied a bunch of rafts together. And come to find out, a barge came by and swamped him, and he drowned. They said they paddled over on the Indiana side of the river to see if they could find it. They built a fire and they hollered his name and never no response. They said when he fell out of the boat, they hollered Jackie, and they said they had heard him and thought he was fine, but he didn't make it. So we didn't know if he was alive or what, so the river was up, so we had had parties, and for 2 weeks we didn't find his body, so we'd go on both sides of the river, and some people with personal boats would come get us and, you know, take us up and down. And we'd look in debris. You know how debris gets up on the banks. Maybe he's laying up on a piece of wood. He can't holler. Maybe he's injured. He's alive. Maybe he's breathing. So you know how difficult that was. Going upside down the banks. Mom was tore up. About 2 weeks later, they came and said that we think we've got his body. He had floated down to the locks, and they got him, and they said, I said I got to go see my brother. They said, no, you don't want to see him. And so they convinced me. Said, you won't remember him the way he was. Well, something interesting happened. I guess I understand it, but my mother is terrified of water now. She's a great swimmer. We used to go out swimming all the time. And we'd go on vacation, we'd rent a pontoon boat, and she'd stand on the dock while we'd leave, and all of her family, she'd just wave. And I'd see her. And I'd think, Mom, you'd be all right, put a life jacket on. She said, no. She said, Kevin, you just don't understand. I'm just terrified. I don't want to be around the water. And I asked her one day, Brother EJ, I said, Mama, if your boy was out there on an island, would you jump in the water? She said, you better believe it. I'd run, I'd dive, I'd swim to him. If you're saved today, it don't matter how bad your hurt is, Christ lives inside of you. You can muster up enough strength to say, I'm going to throw myself in again. I'm going to get on the altar. I'm going to just do business with God because I love Him too much. I may not be where I ought to be, but I'm going to throw myself back in. Some of y'all maybe hadn't visited the altar. I want to encourage you. Throw yourself back in simply because you know you love Him. The feelings might not be there. The emotions may not be there. But you know it's real and true. And I implore you to cast yourself back in, regardless of what it looks like.
Amen.
Just throw yourself back in. Get back into the water. Let's stand. Father, dear God, I pray You'd help us to get back in the water, Lord, regardless of what we've experienced. Just to come around, dear God, and to trust You again where we're at. Jesus, I pray.
I've come too far to look back again. There's nothing behind me. The treasures I used to love have all faded from view. There's a new day ahead for me. All my heartache is over, for I left it at Calvary. Places I have known, angels are singing. I've come too far to look back.